Kidnapping is a constant danger for Western journalists who are working in Pakistan or Afghanistan. It can be deadly dangerous, in fact. But in the past couple of days, there were happy endings to two kidnapping stories in Afghanistan. On Saturday, a journalist with a Canadian broadcasting corporation was released after being held in a cave for 4 weeks. Afghan tribal leaders persuaded the kidnappers to release her. And one day earlier, on Friday, a Dutch journalist who was kidnapped just outside the capital, Kabul, was freed unharmed. She'd been held for nearly a week. Graham Smith is a Kandahar-based reporter with Canada's Globe and Mail newspaper. He's currently in Toronto, heading back to Afghanistan. Tell us about the first person that we talked about there, Melissa Fung, a CBC reporter. Tell us about how and when she was abducted and what happened to her.
Sure. Melissa was visiting a refugee camp on the western outskirts of Kabul, and on the afternoon of October the 12th, she was grabbed by gunmen, put into a van, and disappeared. She resurfaced on Saturday, as you said, when she was brought back to the Canadian embassy. And what happened in between is still a matter of some mystery. The formal explanation for what happened was that her release was brokered by tribal elders, as you've said, but that's usually a euphemism in Afghanistan for some kind of deal or negotiations with either insurgents or independent criminal gunmen. And we are still trying to track down, actually, what the quid pro quo was and who exactly they were dealing with.
So do you know Melissa yourself?
Yeah, I do. Melissa has visited Afghanistan twice, and I was there both times, and she's done fantastic work from the field.
How is she doing now?
There was a videotape released of her arrival in Kabul. She was being interviewed by the NDS and intelligence chief, and she seemed remarkably calm and lucid and bright-eyed.
In fact, let's hear a little bit from that videotape right now. This is Melissa Fung, no longer a hostage, talking with, as you say, the chief of the National Directorate of Security in Afghanistan.
They dug a small hole.
Right.
There was a wall here.
Right.
A wall like this, and the hole was here. And then there was a little tunnel that went into the cave.
As you say, Graham, it sounds like she's doing remarkably well. The conditions in which she was kept, she was, as you've reported, blindfolded. Her hands and her feet were bound with chains at certain points. It was obviously very difficult for her. Why is somebody like Melissa an attractive target?
You know, in fact, the majority, the vast majority of kidnapping cases in Afghanistan are against Afghans. Afghan businessmen are far and away the largest target. And they are the most attractive target because they can be ransomed off, sometimes fairly large sums of money, very quietly, because most Afghans prefer not to get the police involved in any circumstances. They're afraid of the authorities, usually. And also, kidnapping Afghans comes with fewer complications. You don't have special forces hunting you down in the countryside. And so it appears that in this case, she was not an attractive target. The bandits who had originally kidnapped her, it seems, quickly became spooked by what they'd gotten themselves into. And it seems like at some point she was either seized or traded into Taliban custody.
You know, it's a very strange, Graham. It sounds like one group finds an attractive target, kidnaps that target, as was the case with Melissa, and then even competing bands start moving in and start arguing and start trying to claim the property.
Yeah, welcome to Afghanistan. There's a great Afghan game named called Bushkashki, where different horsemen try to grab a dead goat and drag it back to their side. And unfortunately, that's the way some kidnapping cases go in Afghanistan, with different factions squabbling over the prize.
Well, Graham, at this point, I know you're packing because you're heading back to Afghanistan today, in fact. Given what's happened to Melissa and others, do you feel any more vulnerable now as you head back than you were before?
You know, I've been feeling steadily more vulnerable over the last few years. When I first arrived in Kandahar in 2005, I drove there in a car. By the following year, I had to take a bus because driving that road in a car was considered dangerous, but in a bus, there was considered to be safety in numbers. The following year after that, any kind of road travel by a foreigner on that road was considered absolutely suicidal. It's quite dangerous. Journalists in the provinces are bunkering down behind razor wire, and everybody's scared.
Graham Smith with Canada's Globe and Mail newspaper, speaking to us from Toronto. He's heading back to Kandahar in southern Afghanistan today. Good luck to you. Safe travels, Graham, and we hope to talk to you in Afghanistan.
Thank you.